Praise God. Praise God that we are His. I invite you to stand for the reading of the Word of God. Tonight I'll be reading from Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. Again, that's Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. I'll be reading from the ESV. The Word of God says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. You may be seated. This is a passage that is commonly referenced and discussed when we talk about what it means to follow Jesus. And it's a short and simple conversation between Jesus and these three men. But I believe it has profound implications and convictions for those who want to follow Jesus. Whether you've been following Jesus for decades or you're new to following Jesus, there are profound implications and considerations that we must make and take seriously if we are to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, fully committed, no looking back. Especially if we look at verses like verse 62, where Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. That is a very serious statement. It's no joke. Jesus is not messing around when he says this. And the implications of this are that if we are not fully committed to Jesus, then the kingdom of God is not for us. And if you take notice, Jesus talks about this person that puts his hand to the plow and looks back. He never takes his hand off the plow. He doesn't say the man walks away. He simply looks back. And Jesus says that person is not fit for the kingdom of God. And there are people who are serving in the kingdom of God because they look back, because they are not fully committed and devoted to the work and to following Jesus, Jesus considers them not fit for the kingdom. That should be sobering for all servants of Christ. Whether you've served God for decades or you're new to serving God, that is something that we must pay attention to. This looking back that Jesus talks about, many times I think we consider it possibly as longing for the old world, the old life. It could be blatant sin, but it doesn't necessarily have to be blatant sin. It could be things like religiosity that keep us from having a true relationship with Jesus, or complacency that keep us from fulfilling the call for us as Christians, where we are comfortable and we don't do the work that we are called to. Or maybe it's apathy. We don't care what happens to anybody else around us. We don't care if other people receive the gospel or not. I'm saved. Praise God. There's nothing more for me to do. You see, this is that same half-hearted commitment to Jesus as being partially living in the world, partially living for Jesus. You care about yourself, but you don't care about anybody else. You care about the blessings that Christ has for you, but you don't care about serving him. It's this half-hearted commitment that can look differently in all types of people. The way we see it most often, I think, is the prioritizing our personal desires over God's commands and God's call for our life. We put things like church, we put things like reading the Word of God, like getting to know Christ better. We put those things secondary to the things that we want to do. And we have one foot in the world and one foot in church, in the kingdom of God. That's the way I think we see it most often. But I think it can also be that you have a person who is committed to obeying the commands of God. They serve all the time they can in the church. They sacrifice their finances, time, whatever it takes to serve God. But then they believe that that service, that commitment, that obedience is what makes them right with God. See, this is also a half-hearted commitment to Jesus. In a sense, you make Jesus the Lord of your life, which is good, but you don't make him your savior. You rely on yourself for your salvation, and you don't actually ever accept Jesus as your savior. You see, both of these are equally insulting to the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. And we must defend against this. Jesus is talking about this half-hearted commitment very seriously in the passage we just read. And we see it all throughout the New Testament. It speaks very seriously on this matter, on people who commit partially to Jesus, but not fully. And I just want to highlight a few passages that will kind of put this into perspective for us. Pay attention to the imagery and the word choice and the references that Scripture uses here to get this point across, because I believe God wants us to understand this very thoroughly and to see what it means, how he feels about those who don't want to give themselves fully to him. The first passage is from James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8, and here it's talking about a person who seeks wisdom from the Lord, but they also seek wisdom from the world. It calls them double-minded. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously, to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You see, it describes that person as like a wave that's tossed and driven by the wind. And that person shouldn't expect anything from the Lord. That's serious language. Another passage in 2 Peter 2, 20 to 22, talking about new believers who put their faith in Jesus and then turn back to their old sinful ways. It says, for if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness, then after knowing it, to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. And look at this imagery. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. Thank you, Peter, for that beautiful imagery. It is clear and serious. This is not a joke, right? That's a disgusting image that God uses to describe somebody who knew the truth and went back to their sin. And the last one that we commonly reference when talking about lukewarm Christians, Jesus talking to the lukewarm church at Laodicea in Revelation 3, 15 to 16, I know your works. You're neither hot nor cold. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. The image in Scripture is clear and serious. We must be fully committed to Jesus. No looking back. And that's the title of my message tonight. All in, no looking back. All in, no looking back. And there are three marks of a follower of Christ who is all in, fully committed to Jesus, that I believe we can take away from Luke chapter 9, from this conversation that Jesus has with these three men. Three marks that we can look at our life and see, is this present in my life? Is this present in my walk with Jesus? So I can determine, am I fully committed to him? And the first of which is consistently walking with him, consistency. In verses 57 to 58, Jesus says, or the passage says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. This is an interesting response that Jesus gives to this man. This man is excited and zealous to follow Jesus. He comes to Jesus and he says, I'm ready to go wherever you go. And instead of Jesus saying, great, come on, he kind of humbles him. And what I think he does is paints the full picture of what it means to follow Jesus. Because if we look at the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 8, we see that Jesus had just done many miracles, delivered many demons. And this man surely witnessed some of these miracles and the teachings that Jesus gave. And this man thought, wow, this must be an amazing rabbi. At the very least, at the most, he must have recognized him. This must be the Messiah. And he was excited and ready to follow Jesus wherever he went. And Jesus says, okay, that's one part of it. But what about when it's uncomfortable? What about when it requires sacrifice? You see the other side of following me? For all of us, it's easy to follow Jesus when we see the miracles. It's easy to follow Jesus when we see him working. We see what he's doing. But Jesus asks, are you willing to follow me even when it requires sacrifice? Will you follow me even in the desert seasons? We all have those desert seasons when it's difficult to see what God is doing. And many times I think we misinterpret the desert season as a time where God's not working. That's what Israel did. They saw God do these miracles, and as soon as God wasn't doing a new thing, they looked back. They looked back to Egypt. We should have never left. But the thing about the desert season, it's not when God's not working. It's when we don't see God working, because God is always working in our lives, working in us, doing a new thing, even if we don't recognize what it is in that moment. We sing that song, Waymaker. Right? Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. And the one who is fully committed to Jesus is the one who says, even when I don't see those things, God, even when I don't feel those, I'm going to continue walking. I'm going to continue pursuing you. I'm going to continue fulfilling the call that you have for my life, walking in obedience. That's what we are called to do. To continue pressing forward. Sometimes when we see those miracles, it's easy to run, to follow Jesus, to do whatever it takes. But when we don't see him working, maybe we move at a slower pace, but we continue moving forward. So the first is consistency. Do you follow Jesus even when it requires sacrifice, even when you don't see what he's doing in your life? Do you continue to follow him? Consistency in our walk. The second is responsibility. In verse 60, it says, and Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus gives this man a responsibility. He had a responsibility, and Jesus says, I have a more important responsibility. Go and proclaim the kingdom of God. We all have been given this call to action, this job to do, a command to obey. We all have specific jobs and responsibilities in the kingdom of God based on our individual gifts. But all of these are for the general calling of Christians to proclaim the kingdom of God, to go make disciples, to baptize, to teach people to obey the commands that God has given us. We are not bystanders that are just here to watch Jesus work. We are workers. We are workers in the kingdom, as it says in Matthew 9. We are not observers who just sit on the sideline. Jesus wants to use us to work, and observers are less invested. If you just watch and see what God is doing in his kingdom, you're less invested in the kingdom. It's easy to turn back when you haven't made sacrifices and commitments and left shared blood, sweat, and tears for the kingdom of God. It's easy to look back and say, it's easier over there. It's nicer over there. But when you're committed to something, when you're pouring time and effort into something, it's harder to look back, and you just want to keep pressing forward. So that's what we're here to do. We're not just called to watch Jesus do the miracles, but we're called also there to be a vessel to be used by him. So consistency, responsibility. Ask yourself, what is your responsibility for the kingdom of God? What is it? and find that responsibility if you lack one. And the third is urgency. Urgency. You see, these men, they didn't ask for bad things. Let me first go bury my father. Let me first say goodbye to my family. Jesus said no, even to these things that on their own are good, because there was more important things to do. There were things that were more urgent. And this is a difficult one to swallow and accept, I think, as a human being. What do you mean, God? You want me to put even my family behind serving the kingdom and serving you and following you? And Jesus says, yeah, there's more urgent work to be done. And it's interesting if we compare these men that followed Jesus, their response to Jesus's call. Jesus said, follow me. They said, okay, but they delayed. Now contrast that with the disciples, particularly Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, come follow me. How did they respond? Immediately they dropped their nets and followed him. James and John, follow me. Immediately they left their boats. They left their father. They left their families to go follow and commit wholeheartedly to following Jesus. They had no idea what they were getting themselves into, but they followed with everything they had, and they left it all behind for the purpose of following Jesus. That's the urgency they had. And I ask us this question. This is a difficult question, and I want you to take a second before you answer it, because we know the Christian answer, we know the right answer to this question, but I want us to really consider whether we believe this or not. Do we really believe what we say we believe about eternity? Do we believe that when we put our faith in Jesus and we trust in him for our salvation and we repent of our sins, we will go to heaven and there will be no more suffering, no more pain? That's an easy answer. Yes, right? Everybody here believes that. Now, the other side of that, do you truly believe that those who do not put their faith in Jesus will suffer for all eternity in hell? If we truly believe that in our hearts and truly apply that to our walk with Jesus, I think we would have more urgency than we do to proclaim the kingdom, to proclaim the gospel, because people are on the road to destruction, and it's for all eternity. If we truly believe that and apply that to the way we follow Jesus, we will have urgency in what we do. And the danger is, particularly in here in the Western world where things are more comfortable and easy and we lack the level of persecution that other parts of the world have, it's easy to be saved, it feels good, and then we get comfortable. It's easy to just get comfortable and be totally fine with whatever happens to everybody else. I have salvation, I know what's going to happen after I leave this earth, and I can comfortably come to church on Sundays, sit on the bench, and go home and put my head to rest at night because I know I'm going to be saved. And we don't even think twice about the people who don't know the truth. That's the danger. We've all learned about Newton's first law of motion in physics. An object in motion stays in motion unless acted upon by an outside force. An object at rest stays at rest unless acted upon by an outside force. You see, it's funny that that's a physical law of motion, but that kind of applies spiritually as well. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God are this force that's pushing us forward to proclaim the gospel, to serve Jesus wholeheartedly, step in obedience where he calls us to go and to do what he tells us to do. And on the other hand, we have complacency and comfort and apathy that hold us back as this force, and as these two forces fighting each other. And too often we give in to the force that holds us back and keeps us standing still. But we must continue to press forward and be obedient to the call of Scripture and to the work, the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can't sit still. We cannot stand still. There's no time to waste. Look at what's going on in the Middle East with Israel. Do you believe that the coming of Jesus is near? Because I do. So we must move forward with urgency. We have work to do. And the beautiful design about God's kingdom, the way he designed it, is that all of us were once part of the harvest. And once you've been harvested, you become a worker in the harvest. You were once a fish, and once you were caught, you become a fisherman. We're given a responsibility. We're given something to do. We don't just sit on the side and wait for someone else to do something. No, we work for the kingdom of God. We are fully committed, wholeheartedly, in all that we do, with everything we have, for proclaiming the kingdom and bringing glory to Jesus and serving him. So don't walk with Jesus comfortably. Walk with Jesus urgently and with purpose. That's how the kingdom of God grows, but it requires the full commitment of God's people. And I would like to close just with a short story and a short passage. Last week, I went to the baptism at our neighbor church, and I witnessed a cousin of mine give his life, make the declaration to the world that he wants to follow Jesus for the rest of his life. And it was an amazing time, anytime you get to go to a baptism. And they sang a song, or a version of a song, that we've sung here many times, that you've probably heard, and you've heard at baptism time and time again, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." We've all heard that song. And the author, the original author of this song, was named Simon Kara Marek. It was originally written in Assamese. He was an Assamese pastor and gospel preacher and missionary in northeastern India. And he found faith because of the work of missionaries in northern India that started decades before his birth. And he was born into that region and that community that had been reached by the gospel. And as a young man, he dedicated his life to Jesus and to vocational ministry. And he got married at a young age, and he had a child. But then tragically, his wife and his child passed away. Later, the Lord blessed him with a wife and a child once again. But yet again, tragedy struck, and his child and his wife were taken from him. A third time, the Lord blessed him with a wife and two children. And a third time, his wife and one of his children were lost, and he tragically lost them three times. And after that, in that time of his life, he wrote the song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." And the lyrics go like this: "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. If no one joins me, still I will follow, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back." See, this is a follower of Christ who was not concerned about what the world brought or what life brought. He was committed wholeheartedly to following Jesus. I pray that we have that same strength and that same conviction and that same motivation to follow Jesus with all that we are. We talked about those scriptures that highlighted how serious the Bible talks, how serious God is about not being only halfway committed for him. But scripture is also clear on the reward for following Jesus with all that we are. In Matthew 19, 27 to 29, Jesus is speaking to the disciples. "Then Peter said in reply, 'See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?' Jesus said to them, 'Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.'" That's Jesus speaking to his disciples who have left everything. And then verse 29, for us, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands, anyone who's made sacrifices for my name's sake, will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life." Praise God for that. So I hope tonight, I hope this word was a fresh reminder for all of us who have made the decision to follow Jesus, that we continue wholeheartedly, every part of our being, everything we have, following Jesus. And for those that might be listening who have not made this commitment, I hope this word serves as a gentle nudge or a violent push, if that's what's necessary, towards making the greatest decision of your life, which is to follow Jesus and to give him all that you are. So like Jesus did, I remind you tonight, the cost of following Jesus is great, but the reward is so much greater. Amen.